Okay, this is an oral history interview with Jerry Turner on November the 6th, 2008 at his office in Raleigh, North Carolina. And I'd like to start off with our standard first question. Tell me a little bit about where you're from and how you got interested in landscape architecture.
Well, that's interesting. When I registered at the School of Design, then it was not the college, the School of Design, I registered as an architect first. And went through the first 2 years, which they were, back then they were exactly the same, the architects and the landscape architects. They didn't have product design at that time. The two courses were similar. And then after 2 years in being around all the students and the teachers and professors and stuff, I switched over to landscape architecture.
So you started out in architecture then?
Started out in architecture, yeah. Wow. And had a friend that was in landscape architecture, and I just decided I would like that a lot better.
Was your friend in school at State?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was in school.
Well, who was that?
That was a guy named Jim Ellis, and he graduated 2 years before I did, I think, yeah. Our class, my graduating class of 1959 was three people. So I think one might have graduated in 58, two in 57, three in 59. It might not be exact that, yeah. But there just weren't many people in the school at that time.
Well, who were some other people that you can remember?
Well, all the Charlie Burkhead, I don't know whether you know Charlie.
Yes.
He was graduated with me, and he's still around here, but practicing landscape architecture and art. I think he's a full-time artist that does a little landscape architecture. I'm not positive of that. And then Lindsay Cox, he was the third one that graduated in 59. And Lindsay went into more of the planning side. He ended up as, he was, not the chairman, but the lead person in the Triad Council of Governments and as their chief, and he did that for a number of years, and he retired a few years ago, and he's still in Greensboro. And there were lots of others younger and before me.
Well, the only way we're finding that we can get a good list of graduates is to ask the graduates themselves to remember who they were in class
really?
With. Because we don't have a roster for the school. And so the other way that we're getting information is going through each of the annuals. But it turns out some of the landscape architect folks didn't have their pictures taken, so
yeah.
They're not in the annuals. So yeah. Lindsay Cox, I thought he was in your class, but I wasn't sure.
He was.
Well, it's good to know that.
But let's see, 2 years, and I'm not sure when you're 2 year here, but Ken Coulter, who I'm sure you know of,
yes.
Was either a year or two before me, I think a year. Jimmy Ellis, my memory's awful.
Well, we'll think of some more as we go along, probably.
Bradshaw. Bradshaw's first name. He's in Florida.
Taft
Bradshaw, yeah. And he was in, I think, 2 years before. I don't think of her last name. Dot, you know who I'm talking about there? That was one of the few females.
Yes.
State.
I'm at a loss. Dot Morton,
that's exactly right.
Do you know what happened to her?
Never have seen her since the day she graduated. At all. You probably, just in general, Jim Ellis is around here. He lives in Raleigh and not practicing, but he's kept up with a lot of those people.
Well, check that out.
A lot more than I have, and both in architecture and in landscape architecture.
Oh, I'll be sure to follow that up.
Yeah, Dot Morton, but I have not seen her
We'll find her someday.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
and after me, I'm trying to, Jim Klutz, you know him? Yeah. I think he's in Atlanta. Bob Phillips.
No, I'm not familiar with that name.
He was either a year or two after me. And I'm not sure. I think he went to High Point, and I don't know whether he's still there or not.
Well, it's quite a few.
Yeah.
But still small classes of people.
Yeah, but they were getting bigger and bigger. You know, each year they were getting bigger.
Well, let me ask you some more about school. What kind of projects did you work on when you were in school?
Oh, it was a wide variety of projects. You know, it wasn't a big staff. Gil Thurlow and Lewis were the two professors of landscape architecture, and so you had them every year. And, you know, they were a good thing. They brought in a lot of guest people, very good guest people.
Do you remember some of the people who came in?
Bob Ralston, you know who I'm talking about there? Yeah. Roberta Burley Marx came there. There was Jose de Rivera, the sculptor. You know who I'm talking about?
Yes.
Yeah, most people don't know me. And you know, there were a few other really great teachers, or professors, I guess, that were in art. I mean, Roy Gusso, Cox.
Joe Cox.
Joe Cox was a great, great teacher of art. I mean, he really was. George Berline.
And you took classes with these people, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That seems to be one of the things that differentiates this landscape architecture program from others, is that you took actually what would be called design classes.
Yeah. You took 5 years of art.
Really?
And painting, sculpture, drawing. You had to, I mean, not electives or anything. They were just, I mean, you took that all through the entire 5 years. It was gradually getting away from that, I think, right after I graduated, where that became more of an elective thing, which I don't necessarily agree with, but I was happy to have had all that, not forced on me, I mean, but I had to go through all that.
Right. What was Lewis Clark teaching at the time?
Well, just the basic landscape architecture class. Thurlow taught all the planting design courses, but Lewis and Thurlow just taught the general landscape architecture, which was everything from site planning to through construction drawings and stuff.
Goodness gracious. Was there a particular philosophy that they were kind of putting out at that time?
McCarg came there too. That was another one. And, you know, his sort of design with nature, I guess, was as close to a philosophy as any. But our courses had a wide variety, everything from residential design to campus planning to, I know one time Dick Bell came and taught a course that we did a NCO club down at Fort Bragg. I don't remember that one. And my thesis, you had to have a thesis in your fifth year then, and it was a master planning of Baldhead Island as a resort development.
Right.
Which was sort of interesting.
That sounds very interesting.
Yeah, it was a good one, yeah. And it hadn't been developed quite like my plan. It never would be.
Well, that's quite a size project for a degree program, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
But there was all, you know, you did all the grading, everything that you would do generally as a landscape architect in various degrees of detail, you know.
Do you recall any of the specific projects, like you said, the NCO Club? Do you remember any other projects that you worked on as a student?
Joe Cox's house. That's just one that pops up. Yeah, he built a new, back then, I mean, it was brand new, out off of somewhere out here in West Raleigh, a contemporary house, and we took on that as a project to do landscape plans and hardscape plans for. But others I'm drawing on sort of a blank.
Well, it was a good time ago. What year did you graduate?
1959.
And after graduation, what did you do?
My last 2 years in school, I worked as a part-time draftsman, I guess you'd call it back then. With the firm was Godwin and Bell. It was Dick Bell and a partner, Jim Godwin. I don't know. I guess you know that.
Yes.
Yeah. And I worked with them. And then when I graduated, I worked with them for a year. And then after a year, I went to work with the state in community planning work. So I worked with the Division of Community Planning under the Department of Conservation and Development for about 7 years. And during that last part of that, I started doing some moonlighting on residences and even some subdivisions and stuff. And then I opened my office in 67, yeah.
That was a good year to open, wasn't it?
Hmm?
That was a good year to open?
Well, it was. There weren't many landscape architects. In fact, I think Godwin and he and Bell were still together, that office. And there was one other office, an older guy, and I'm not think of who he was. We were talking at the convention a couple weeks ago. I can't remember who he was, and that was it here. John Townsend was in Greensboro, but there weren't many offices at all. And there was very little land development activities with landscape architects. And I guess I got to be one of the first ones that got doing a lot of land development.
What was your first job that put you on the map?
Oh, God. On the map, sort of, maybe. We did a lot of work, but Kildare Farms, I and Cary was 1,000 acres that we did. That was back in the early 70s. And that was a fun part. It was one of the first PUDs in North Carolina. And it was a very interesting project. We had to educate the town council on what a PUD was and develop a PUD ordinance and work with them. And that was back when there wasn't a staff. And then during that process of Kildare, they hired their first planner full time. So that was pretty interesting.
I remember that project being discussed and then coming to public eye, in other words, from the public's mm-hmm. viewpoint. That was quite a project.
Yeah, it really was. I was honored to be a part of it, yeah, way back then. Tom Adams, a Raleigh attorney, and had a partner, Doug Brown, I think it was like sort of an accountant, but they formed the company and they were the developers of that. Unfortunately, that project hit one of the downturns like right now after it had been going for about 2 years, and they lost it, and somebody else bought it. But we kept on through it with three different owners, I think, yeah.
Is a golf course included in that project?
No, there was no golf course with Kildare. No. The first golf course in Cary, we weren't involved in that project, was at McGregor Downs, and Willard Byrd out of Atlanta did that course and the land planning for McGregor, and then Lockmere was the second golf course. And we were involved in a lot of the planning in Lockmere, but after the golf course. And then we did the master plans for Preston and laid out two of the three golf courses out there. Yeah. But, we've done a lot of work in Cary over the years. We really have. Yeah.
In your office, who were some of the other people working for you?
We've had some great people here at the office. Larry Vaughn, you know Larry?
I know the name.
He worked at the office for a good little while. Ken Sangster, you know of Ken?
Yes.
Ken's died.
Yes.
But Ken was a wonderful, great, great designer, good landscape architect. And Kyle Lamar Bunn worked here for a good little while. You know Lamar?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
okay. Willie Hood, who is one of the principals now. Linda Harris is one of the principals now. And they're both very exceptional landscape architects. And there have been a lot of others. Our office has done this with the economic times. We started out with one person, that was me. We got up to, I guess, about 6 or 8, and then got involved pretty heavily in land development and got up to 28 people.
Wow.
And then one of the economic downturns hit, and we dropped down to, I think, 15. And, we hung around 15 and then dropped to 8 one time and then got back up and are now down to 7. So it's
that's just a manageable number, right?
Yeah, 28 was way too many. I mean, we were in a house that we had purchased over on Cox Avenue, you know, where Players Retreat is, mm-hmm. It's right across where the parking lot is over there. We were over there for years, and you'd open a closet and there'd be somebody in there drawing, and that was before computers. No computers back at that time. But at one time, Bob Moore, I don't know whether you know Bob. Bob has turned into a very good golf course architecture. We got into golf course architecture sort of halfway. I mean, you couldn't compete with Lon Palmer and Nicholas and all those people, but we did 3 or 4 golf courses through construction administration and everything, and Bob was a project manager on 2 of those, and then he went to work for a big golf course architect in California and stayed over there for a number of years and still came back to North Carolina, and I don't understand what the complete situation is, but he runs a sort of remote office for them, but he sort of does his own thing too. But he's still around.
So the people that work in your office to begin with, they're still practicing then?
Oh yeah, well, in fact, I had Karen go through the other day, and we've had 150 people in our office over this 40 years.
Wow.
And most of them, I think, are still practicing. I'm not all of them. Some of them are dead, you know, some of them have passed on, but quite a few of them are still around, yeah.
Looking back on that, on the people that you had through here and the projects that you had, does one particular project stand out?
No, not really. I mean, we've done all types of, we've done big projects for the government. For example, the master plan for the Beaver Jordan Reservoir. We've done some reservoir planning down in Georgia and Alabama. And those are big projects and take 2 years or so to do. But we've sort of zeroed in as liking being involved in land development more so than anything else. And we've done some very nice residential projects with some very, very nice multifamily projects, all just about every kind of project you can imagine we've been involved with. But land development projects that I particularly like, Woodcroft over in Durham, which has a really good integrated greenway system.
Oh, yeah.
We for a period of a number of years, we did a lot of work with Roger Perry with East West Partners. And we did Woodcroft, and we did a big one in Greensboro, and a big one in Charlotte. And,
what was the one in Charlotte? What was the one in Charlotte?
Davis Lake.
Oh, yeah.
The name of it, yeah. And I'm trying to think of the one in Greensboro. they were all based on the same philosophy as Woodcroft. And a couple of those hit real bad economic times for the developer. Woodcroft was an unbelievable project in that it was, this may not have anything to do with what you're talking about, but it was designed to be sold out in 7 or 8 years, and it sold completely out in 3. So they made so much money, it was unreal.
Yeah.
It didn't help us, but I mean, we got good jobs out of it, but they really started their business basically with that project.
Well, the design is what they were selling, so it was a good design,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's exactly right, yeah. No, that was a very good design. It was well thought out, and people enjoyed it and liked it, and still do. No, while you're going out there.
As the students, and I'm sure you didn't remember, like maybe if they didn't work in your office, maybe you just know of the students that came through state, what was it about the what we call the Kemp Hefner years? What was it about the school that got these guys to be such good designers? What was different about their design approach?
Probably two main things. One, requiring you to do all the art stuff. I mean, you had to just about become a reasonable designer going through all that. And the other one, and I guess it still has a reputation, I'm not sure. I mean, they worked your can off. I mean, you know, it was every night up there, and there were very long hours, and you worked hard. And I don't, do they still have that? I mean, you still have.
I'm not sure that they still have. I don't pick up from many people that it's as intense as it used to be. But
yeah.
they still expect a lot.
Yeah, and I think the other thing, Henry Kemp Hefner hired the best people he could get. You know, the whole professional staff were very good people in architecture and landscape architecture. And I guess product design came on after I left, and many of the other ancillary things. But back when I started there, it was before the school was built where it is now, and we were in what was on barracks. You ever heard of that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Like, well, the atomic reactor, since it surrounded the atomic reactor, and then it was their administrative office were in. I believe it was Daniels, I'm not sure, but Kemp Hefner and all that crap were there. But no, he hired good people and
made a difference.
And made you work at it. Yeah, he didn't want you there, you know, if you weren't going to do pretty good.
Yeah.
And I think, and I'd love to know this, but, well, I know my starting class of 28, two finished in 5 years out of that.
It was a 5-year program.
Yeah. I mean, others finished in 6 years or 7 years or
oh.
something, but they didn't finish it in the 5 years they intended to when they started out.
Oh. Was that hard?
Yeah, it really was. Yeah. Oh.
No, I don't think it's quite that hard.
Yeah. It was a very low percentage at that time. I mean, the percentage of graduating in the program was pretty high. It just may not be the exact number of years that you intended it to be. Mm-hmm. I think, yeah.
Wow. How did what you learned from Lewis affect your practice?
Well, I don't know.
Did it?
I'm sure it did. I mean, I don't know that it did any more than from Gil Thurlow. Lewis was and I guess still is a very energetic, enthusiastic person, and he would, I think he and Joe Cox, Joe was the most enthusiastic person I'd ever met about painting. He'd, you know, come up to a painting of a piece of mess and, oh, that's wonderful, good start and all that. You know, Lewis wasn't quite that much, but he was very enthusiastic about the school, and he was very enthusiastic you know, imbibing that in the students. His wife, Kit, who I guess she's around, but they've been divorced for a long, long time. They used to have the students over their house a lot and have rambling conversations over beer. And, you know, he was more involved. Well, he was not that much older than most of the students back then. You know, I don't know how, I don't think he'd come to the school. Do you know how old he is?
He's 81 now.
He's 81. Okay, I'm 73, so he's not. He's 8 years older than I am, so he just.
You know. But when you're in your 20s, it's not much difference.
No,
is it?
No, there's not much at all. Excuse me from still tearing this thing. But no, he was very enthusiastic, and he was also enthusiastic about getting people like Royston there, and McGarg and all those people and working with them. And you know, you spent times with them in class with the projects, and you spent times with them in his house, you know. And it was yeah, he had a big effect on my life, I guess you say. He had a part-time practice all the time he was in teaching, and I had a lot of friends. Lamar worked for him, Sally Schumann worked for him, Ken worked for him. I mean, God, just a big group of people went through his office and got a lot of experience. But he sort of had the philosophy. This may not be called a philosophy, but he would hire people, and they would work there like 4 years, maybe 5 years, and all of them would start making too much money, and he'd let them all go and start all over again. And I really disagreed with that, but as I've gotten older, that's probably not a bad way to do it. You know? We tend to keep people around a long, long time,
right.
Which I think is better. But all those people, Lamar and Sally, and I'm trying to think of who were the other person there at that time. But then he had not done, when I started out in with the land development stuff, he hadn't done much. And then he started doing that predominantly with the resorts. He did Palmetto Dunes, I think is one of the first big ones they did, and they did it very well. He did a number of them, and I'm not sure, just sort of plain land development, like what I call plain, with people living there full-time, like Kildare or Preston or something. I don't know how much of that he did, but I do remember Palmetto Dunes a lot, yeah.
Yeah, though, I think that's one of their more famous ones.
Yeah.
What will landscape architecture look like in the future?
Oh boy, that's interesting. You know, I hope it'll become the sort of the basis for how development is done normally. You know, again, back when I started, all of the subdivisions were done by engineers.
Done by engineers?
Yeah, not a few of them. Either an engineer or a survey did the subdivisions. And then we started doing some, and then we got more, and then we got more, and we got more. And as I said, that's sort of how we got involved with land development. The past 5 years, maybe more, maybe a little less, all of the big engineering architectural firms have a landscape architectural section now, and it's all involved. But the engineers are leading it, and that's why we've tried to stay separate from that. But it becomes more and more difficult. Big developers come in and they want a one-stop shop, and so they usually get one of the big engineers, and they do everything.
It's kind of backwards from what it used to be.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. And Now they're, I don't know, today nobody wants to be involved just in land development because there's not any, you know, it's just, there's not much land development working out at all. But there are, I guess most of the offices doing land development now, other than ourselves and maybe a couple of the small offices, are related to architecture and engineering. Yeah.
So do you see, you're staying, keeping the philosophy that you've got, do you see that becoming more prevalent in the future?
What? Big office with everybody, yeah, unfortunately. And I do think it's unfortunate, yeah. But I do think it's very difficult to maintain a practice just in landscape architecture. I mean, unless it's a small, related to commercial hardscapes and site plans and residential work. It's hard to do the bigger land development projects without the engineering.
How about the difference between what you used to draw with these days, with the computer versus hand drawing? How does that fit into the future of landscape architecture?
I think there's less design involved now. You know, we used to draw by hand everything and all the way through. It has made our work more efficient. It's made it better looking drawings. But you get a lot of landscape architects out of school now that can't draw. I mean, can't do anything by hand. And I don't know whether that's particularly good or bad, but the computer's had just a huge effect on us. And all, you know, from business, just keeping the books to, we had our books on computer back before there was a PC. So we were one of the first ones around to do that, which is no honor particularly, but it was interesting, you know. We got a Commodore business computer with like 8K of memory. And we ran it out, you know, had a program specifically developed for our town building, and it ran out of memory really, really quick. And then we used to, it's interesting to you, Kimley Horn, who I'm sure you know of, Bob Kimley and I think Horn's first name. They were established in the same year I was, okay. And we used, Ed Vick went to work for them. You know Ed Vick? Mm-hmm. Ed Vick's a civil engineer. They were both, well, civil/transportation engineers. And they started doing a lot of work, and Ed is a really smart, aggressive person, so he started going out and getting them work. And they opened a Florida office, and then they've opened offices all over the world now. But when there was anything landscape architectural or master planning, they got me, or us, I guess. And so we did a whole lot of work with them over the years, and until they just kept on getting bigger and bigger and bigger, finally got their own landscape architectural people. But we worked a lot in Florida with them. We worked a lot here. And it was interesting. In fact, they tried to buy us and integrate us with them. And again, we probably made a mistake not doing it from a financial standpoint, but we didn't want to be ruled by an engineering company. And so we didn't, you know, but they, and again, that's how most of them have become. I mean, a lot of engineers have bought landscape architecture practices now.
I really hadn't realized that they bought them out. Rather, I thought they had merged, but I just never thought of them as being aggressively buyout.
Oh yeah, they've got the size and the money and everything that can do that. So there's been a tremendous amount of that.
Have you had fun being a landscape architect?
Oh, yeah, we do anything else, yeah. No, it's been great for me. My daughter is a landscape architect. My son-in-law is a landscape architect. So it's ingrained now.
I guess so.
Yeah, no, it's been great. And everybody says, when you're going to retire, when you're going to retire. As long as I'm having fun and in reasonable health, I'll continue on. And we have some work, you know.
Yeah.
And that is a problem right now. It will turn. It's just got to be around when it turns around.
What's the one important thing to know about Jerry Turner?
Oh, that's interesting. I don't know. That he's a fair person and an honest person. Has a good fortune to have a good family, good kids, good grandkids. And has been fortunate in the business.
Well, that's one of the reasons we're interviewing you, because you have one of the longest standing offices that's around. And do you have anything else you'd like to add today?
I don't know offhand.
Well, I think we've had a good interview here, and we'll close out with that.
Well, I appreciate it very much.
Well, thank you.
I hope I've helped some of the things.
Oh, yes.
Lewis is a very interesting person, and he deserves whatever accolades he can get, I think. I mean,
well, thank you.
He's good. He's a great landscape architect. That's how I would put it that way. Yeah.
That's good. Good final words there.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right.